Luke chapter 10. Scripture will be on the screens for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are attempting to live the Jesus way. And here we read of Jesus setting forth the way of mercy as the way of eternal life. And when Jesus speaks to us and says, "Go and do likewise," we want to say, "Yes, Lord." Help us today by your scripture and by the things that we will hear to be more formed into people of mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here at Word of Life Church, we are spending the month of January talking about the Jesus way. And we're gearing up for what's going to come in February and March, which will lead us up to Easter. And that is our Red Letter Living, where we examine the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and try to live the way that Jesus set forth. Also this morning, we are, in one sense, looking at our third mission objective. Our third objective in our mission statement as a church is to serve others in Christ-like humility. And that's why I read the passage of Scripture I read, where we encounter Jesus' teaching and a young Torah scholar, a lawyer, stood up to investigate this new rabbi out of Nazareth. And he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do that I might enter into the God life, the full life, the real life, the abundant life? What do I need to do?" And Jesus, being a Jewish rabbi, answered this man's question with a question, which is, in fact, a very Jewish thing to do. Reminds me of the time that someone asked Elie Wiesel, "Why do you Jews always answer a question with a question?" And Elie Wiesel said, "Why not?" So Jesus answers a question with a question. He says, "Well, what is written in the Torah? How do you read it?" Jesus says, "What is your summation of what is set forth in the law and the prophets?" And the lawyer said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the lawyer sums up the intent of the law and the prophets as loving God and loving neighbor. And Jesus responded and said, "That's right. You get it. If you do this, you'll be living. If you live that way, if you live in the way where you love God supremely and love neighbor as self, you will be living the real God kind of life." But that's not the end of the story. The lawyer said, "Well, after all, who is my neighbor?" Because we need some definition here. I mean, oh yes, we can love God. I mean, loving God's easy, or at least we think. We at least tell ourselves that to love God is easy. It's this loving neighbor part that's hard. And so we want to find out, who is it we have to love? And we hope that somehow the definition will be, we have to love the people that are like us. The people that agree with us. The people that share our same views on religion and politics. The people that look, act, and think like us. Surely that must be our neighbor, and I can love them and not have to worry about the rest. So Jesus tells a story. He said, "Well, there was a man on a journey, Jerusalem to Jericho." Perry and I, we've traveled that road many times. Never walked it. Always done it by car. But someday, let's do it, Perry. Let's walk that road someday. It's about 15 miles. We can do that. Hopefully there's no robbers these days. And this man was on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and left him half dead. Suddenly, he's a man without identity. You know, he's been robbed, he's been stripped, he's been reduced to nothing more than his mere humanity. You know, is he a Jew? Is he a Samaritan? Who is he? What's his identity? We don't know. He has no wealth, no identification. He's unconscious. He can't speak. All we know is he's a human being. That's the only thing we know about this man. He's a human being. That's all we know. And down the road comes the priest. The priest, for various reasons, is not inclined to get involved. He passes by on the other side. This man cannot be his neighbor. The Levite follows in suit, does the same thing, passes by on the other side. "I don't know who this man is. He cannot be my neighbor." When Jesus talks about first a priest and then a Levite, the next one would be a layman. But Jesus suddenly changes the narrative and he introduces a startling element. He introduces a Samaritan. Someone of a different ethnicity and a different religion. Someone in that time and culture that was looked at askance with deep suspicion. And here comes a Samaritan who does not pass by on the other side, but he gets involved and he acts like a neighbor and he tends to the man and he pours in oil and wine and he picks him up and he places him upon his own animal and he leads him to the inn where he can find care and comfort. He pays his bill. He leaves more money besides. He says, "I'll be back in 2 days. If you spend any more, I'll pay you." And having given this story, Jesus then looks at the young Torah scholar and says, "Now, which one of these proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he says, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, "Now you go and you do likewise." You might not have noticed, it's a bit subtle, but Jesus actually reframes the question in the midst of his answer. The original question is, "Who's my neighbor?" And the way Jesus subtly deals with it, he says, "You know, that's not really the question. The question isn't who is my neighbor. The question is, to whom can I be a neighbor?" And the answer to the question is, any human being in need with whom you have the capacity to help, that is your neighbor. And to walk the Jesus way, you are obligated to give them mercy. That's the Jesus way. So we live in a world that we could think of as very divided. ethnicity, nationality, religious divides. But Jesus seems to be saying to us, no matter what our religious, ethnic, or national divides, if we are to walk in the Jesus way, we are to show mercy to everyone in need of mercy. That we are to be a neighbor to all that we can. And in this world of the 21st century of the internet and global economy and the capacity for global travel, almost everyone is our neighbor. Whether it's the suffering ones in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, or whether it's children caught up in the seemingly intractable conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. These are all our neighbors, and we are to show them mercy. And so I have a video I want to show you before I introduce our guests, and the video is self-explanatory, so check out this video.
Sam Nakoon chisels stories in stone. Born in Israel, he found his future, his family, his joy here in Kansas City. Scientist Ahmed El Sharif, born in Egypt, creates medicine to save lives from cancer, from diabetes, from the flu, in his laboratory right here in Kansas City. Both men are healers, men of peace. One heals the soul with his art, the other heals the body with his medicine. Both suffered the loss of their homes in war. Both were children on opposite sides of a conflict that as children they could not control. Together today, these men of faith dream. Their dream is to see the day when Arab and Jewish children play soccer together on the same team. Even if this dream should seem impossible to adults on both sides of the conflict today, they believe it will happen, and that it must happen in the future to heal the wounds of decades of war. They met by accident at a discussion on recent rocket attacks between Gaza and Israel. They decided to use their gifts to help the children on both sides of this war. It's time for the children to be allowed to be children, they both said. Together, Sam and Ahmed formed a 501c nonprofit organization called Let the Children Play for Peace. They have also created a website at letthechildrenplayforpeace.org. They ask that you donate toys, soccer balls, kites, toys of joy that make all children smile and laugh. For it's laughter and love that heal body, mind, and soul. As Ahmed said, when I develop a medicine for the first time, I do it in a small beaker. Once it's created, it can be duplicated on a grand scale. This is what we are doing here, creating peace in a small way to spread it across the world. Sam added, let peace and joy start here today. Let's do it for the children. Let's do it for the children everywhere.
We want the whole world to join us. It's a very, very, very important project. It's to give some hope for the children.
Children be children.
Yes.
And we want to give just a spark of joy for those who've been affected by a conflict that it is a very, very long conflict. And by doing something together,
yes,
maybe a spark of light will come in and can see some good things for the coming generation, from Gaza, from the West Bank, from the neighbors. We want to be good neighbors, and we start with the children. And hopefully this will be a very, very successful project.
Absolutely.
We'll be looking hard on that.
I agree with you, Sam, very much. You see now, the son of Isaac and the son of Ishmael, both of them are the children of Abraham. They are together to do some good work.
So we'll try to please Abraham as well.
And we all go back to Adam.
Exactly right. Here we go. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Ah, what do you think of that, huh? Well, I can do better than a video because my friends are on the front row. We've already done this once. We're ready to do it again. And so, Word of Life Church, won't you please help me welcome our dear friends, Samuel Nachum and Ahmed El Sharif. Let's have a seat. Since I have been spending time with Ahmed, I have learned that... open. How do you do this? There we go. I learned that the Arabs gave us coffee. God bless the Arabs. Okay. Did you know that? Yes. And for a while, when it first came into Europe, the Pope said, you know, oh, it's a Muslim drink, you can't drink it. But then they found coffee in the Vatican. So I've already taught to Ahmed my distortion of the verse in James, faith without coffee is dead. Yeah. It's not really what it says, but...
Can you imagine life without coffee?
No. I can't. Well, let me do some little introductions here. Sam... and his wife Dana is with us on the front row. His son Benjamin and his wife Tiffany were with us in the first service, and they've headed back. But Sam and I have been friends for many years. Sam is he's an artist. He works with stone, and primarily stone, also stained glass. Sam is the one who did all of the stonework in our upper room. Ah, aha! Now we know who he is. Sam was born in Israel. He was born, I already forgot the name, it means salt, but the name of the village is...
Malcha.
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 No, you say it in Arabic.
Malha.
Milha.
Milha.
See, it's even deeper.
Milha.
So you kind of got lucky in here, you don't even say Malcha.
Can you imagine food without salt?
Yes, that it means salt. That's what Malcha means. Right. Well, you were born in this village that's very near Jerusalem and Bethlehem.
Right.
And of course, Perry and I were there all the time. And so that's a familiar place and neighborhood to us. And now your home is in Kansas City, but Jewish, right. Israeli, right. Friend. Ahmed comes from the Middle East, and he was born in the Sinai. I've also been to the Sinai.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is mysteriously beautiful. I always had in my mind, because that's where, you know, the children of Israel wandered in the Sinai. And I imagined it as a featureless, flat desert. And it's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It's full of mystery and intrigue and mountains and canyons.
And the stars.
And the stars. It's a very enchanting kind of place. Well, so Ahmed was born in the Sinai. Both of their homes were affected by... the war, particularly in 1967. They were both affected by that. Ahmed is a scientist, and he's involved in medical research, helping to cure the ills of the world. He also now makes his home in Kansas City, but was just back for a couple of months in Sinai. We're going to go there together sometime.
Hopefully very soon.
Yes.
All of us.
And now the thing is, we're all friends now. Sam and Ahmed are friends, and they really are. I mean, they're friends. And I want to say to them, you know, don't you read the newspapers? You're not supposed to be friends. You're supposed to be enemies. You're supposed to hate one another. At least that's the script that's been given to us. But I like people that don't always go by the script. You know, there's that script of hatred, and they threw that away. So tell us a little bit about how you two met. And how you formed the friendship, and then a little bit about your project that's turned into an organization, Let the Children Play for Peace. I don't know who wants to go first.
Please, Ahmed.
Yeah, well, the project came about after meetings over the time, I and Sam, and I would let Sam explain the circumstances. But the way we see it is that when there is violence in the house between grown-up, the children suffer in the midst of this. And if the grown-up watch themselves in front of the children, for the sake of the children, it will be good not only for the children, but also for the grown. So that's where the project kind of came about. And of course, I and Sam spent our childhood in the midst of war, where our teenager life and prior to that been kind of taken away, if you will.
Yes.
So we would want to, in a small way, just bring attention to the world and to the grown-up and politics and all of this, to say enough is enough.
Yes. I didn't say this in the first service, and I want to remind myself to do that. I said it first as a joke to you the other day, but I really think it's more serious than that. I said, the cause of peace is too important to be left to the politicians.
I agree.
And because with the politicians, there's always a constituency to appease at home. And we have to get beyond that and find some common ground where we can meet. And Sam, tell me again, I've heard it before, but tell me again about how you two first met and you kind of stood up for one another when you could have easily just gone into your us versus them attitudes and you didn't do that.
Well, I actually met Ahmed off and on when at some time there is an Israeli demonstration that we support Israel, and there is maybe an Arab demonstration where Ahmed will be there. But for years we've watched each other, but never really connected, but known of each other. When we had an event where Ahmed and I were there in somebody's house, and somehow I spoke my mind.
Somehow. You don't know Sam, but he's known for doing that.
I somehow ask a very tough question, a true question. And what I wanted to see is that we are helping each other from the ground up. That means the question was, how many of you really supporting that program, or is it only one group or another group? Some of the people left the room, they were not happy about it. Ahmed comes to me and he said to me, I like your question. I like what you said. What you said is correctly. What I said was, let's all do the job together, not just you or me. And then I said, well, if you like that, so give me a big hug. Well, once you give me a hug, we really knew it was a lot of like over there. Then Ahmed had to go to the Israeli person that brought the program to that evening and explain her how me feel, and he basically helped me with my own kind.
So let me get this straight. You're an Israeli, you were having disagreements with other Israelis, okay. And the Arab comes and yes. Mediates and tries, yeah.
Wasn't that a good clue? Wasn't that good? So,
he's my cousin, I cannot leave him alone.
That's exactly right.
He needs me.
Yeah.
I'm a good cousin. So later on in time, we had another event where Ahmed and I and 500 Jewish people gathered together to get some briefing from the deputy consul from Israel. And Ahmed asked a question. When he asked a question, some people booed him. I went to the back and asked the people to please be quiet. Let the man speak his mind. I took a lot of courage and, you know, really, to be among 500 Jewish people, not too happy about the bombing and all that. And here is Ahmed stand up, and he at least spoke his mind. Shortly after that, we knew that we need to do something that will unite us and not separate us. And the children, the idea of the children, to give them toys, give them new toys, was a good idea, because most of the time when you raise funds or medical or medicine, you never get to see the toys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the last things on your agenda. You think about the clothing, and beside that, we're finding that Ahmed and I get along very well. We're having a good time doing it as well, and we do it with a whole lot of humor, where we don't fight.
Yeah,
there are more people in our group. I'm just kidding. That fight, but not Ahmed. They let the children play.
We calm everything.
Yes, we get everybody relaxed. So,
well, and see, what happens is you two came together, at least originally, over a situation in Gaza. And here's where I get involved, because I've been to where you grew up. I've been to where you grew up. And I've been to Gaza, and there's not more than a handful of Americans that can say they've been inside of Gaza. I mean, it's difficult to be able to go there. It's very rare. And I've been there. I kind of just been everywhere. And when I heard about, from Sam first, when I heard about what you were doing, it just touched my heart. And I said, and I told Sam, I said, you know, Jesus talked about this. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And what you are doing in a war-torn part of the world, working for the cause of peace, I say, God bless you, God bless you.
Thank you, thank you.
And then let me be a part.
And you are.
Because I look and I say, okay, we've got a Jew and a Muslim. What about a Christian? Yeah. Come on. What about a Christian?
Yeah.
You've got an artist. You've got a scientist. What about a pastor?
Right.
And so I just sort of nudged my way in and said, let me be a part of this too, because I believe it would please the Lord. So, see, it's not about syncretism. It's not about saying, okay, Jews and Muslims and Christians are all essentially the same thing. No, we have our differences. But what it is doing is we are finding common ground around the cause of peace and loving our neighbors. And as a Christian, here's what I can say to that. That's the Jesus way.
Absolutely.
That's the Jesus way. To be neighbors. I noticed even in the video, you said something about, I can't remember, you said something about, you know, we want to be good neighbors.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right. I can tell you the picture would not have been perfect without your being part of it. And we, the three of us, are the children of Abraham.
Yes.
Our tradition. You know, three brothers can grow up a little bit different from one another. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we are the children of Abraham. Yes. How can we honor Abraham?
That's right.
That is our message.
That's right. That's right. And I agree with Ahmad.
Thank you so very much. You know, I always say, maybe it was told to me by a rabbi, actually, that the children of the family of Abraham, maybe it's a little bit a dysfunctional family. And when that happens, the children of Adam suffers as a result.
Yes.
So the children of Abraham brought a lot of goodness to the world, but they just want to be closer to one another. And I'm sure the children of Adam would benefit much more as well.
Absolutely.
That really is the truth. Well, I want to tell you both something that I've told you twice before. I'm going to tell you one more time.
I love to remember.
Yeah. I told you this both in private on Tuesday, and there was no audience. But I told you in private, and it came from my heart, and there were tears in my eyes. And then I told it again in the first service. But I want to say it one more time, because I know these people are listening to us, and I think it's very important. And that what I want to tell you one more time is that I have three motives in participating in your project, Let the Children Play for Peace. My first motive is very simple. It's simply that this is a good thing. To help give children a childhood in a place where war threatens to tear it away from them is a good thing, and it needs no other justification. And if I can be a part of something that's that good, thank you for allowing me and my church to participate. That's our first motive. It's just good, and we want to do something good.
It's a great honor. It's a great honor.
The other two motives are more emotional. My second motive for wanting to be involved is that even though you are actually, I mean, Sam Nahum and Ahmed El Sharif, you're my friends as individuals, you also are symbols to me. You represent something to me because you both represent ethnicities and religions who historically have not always been shown the best face of Christianity. In our scripture reading this morning, we were in Acts chapter 11. What's notable about that chapter is it's the first time the word Christian is used in the Bible. And it says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Christian is a word that means Christ-like. As Christians, we prefer to remember what's best about us, and we like to forget when we've been very ugly. But we can't do that. We can't forget. And so I know that Jews and Muslims know about our ugliness. And there's been many such episodes, but not the least of which would be that 200-year period, this 12th and 13th centuries, known as the Crusades, which were, and I hate to say it, but I have to be honest, they were church-sponsored holy wars against Muslims and Jews. For example, the First Crusade began in 1095, and before they even got out of Europe, the first thing that these crusaders did was kill 12,000 Jews in the Rhine Valley. Somehow they thought, I don't know what they thought, but under the banner of the cross and calling themselves Christian, they murdered other human beings. It's the ultimate betrayal of what Jesus Christ is about. And then they came to Jerusalem with their whole misguided motive of liberating the Holy Land, and it was just insanity. They engaged in siege warfare against the city, which is the cruelest form of warfare. At least it was then. Maybe we have more cruel ways these days. I don't know. And when the city then finally succumbed to the crusader siege, and the Muslims retreated to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and have been there too, instead of being content with the surrender, the crusading soldiers marched in upon the Muslims that were surrendering and slaughtered 30,000 of them. Again, under the cross, under the banner of calling themselves Christians. And I want to say to you, Sam, that was not the face of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you a different face.
That's why I like you.
Yes. And I want to say to you, Ahmed, that was not the true face of Christ. The face of Christ is a face of love, forgiveness, and mercy. And I want to show you a different face. Whew, got through that again.
Oh my God. Just so beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Do you understand, church, that we need to show a different face?
Oh my God.
There's one more motive. And this one is maybe in some ways the most touchy. First motive, it's a good work. I want to be involved. Second motive, we need to show Jews and Muslims the true face of Christ. We need to redeem the face of Christ from the ugly face of the crusader. The third motive is I want to show to my congregation a different face of a Jew, and especially a Muslim. Relationships between Jews and Christians are much improved these days compared to where they were a generation or two ago. Especially if we'd been in Europe a few generations ago, they were deplorable. Again, and I place the responsibility solely upon the church and Christians. There has been an enormous amount of reconciliation between Jews and Christians, and for that we're deeply grateful. Among Christians and Muslims, for all kinds of complex reasons that are out of my hands and out of your hands, Ahmed, unfortunately, there's far too many Christians that to them, the face of a Muslim, and I'm just going to say it, is Osama bin Laden. And it might be the only Muslim name they know. And I'm going to change that. And I'm going to say, all right, how about Ahmed El Sharif? Here's a different face. So that the next time someone says, all Muslims are thus and so, you can say, well, now, hold on. Because I got a new friend, and his name is Ahmed El Sharif, and I met him in our church on a Sunday morning, and he's a kind man, and he's a man of peace. I want to give Muslims a different face than what is often presented in caricature. in a dehumanizing, demonizing way. I want next time you hear of a Muslim, I want this face right here to be the face that you think of.
Thank you so much. So unreal. This is so beautiful, Brian, to be in the place of honoring God Almighty. And your courageousness definitely is the courageousness of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And I just want you to know also that you're not the only one who has some dark spots in the history. We have some dark spots also that we are not really proud of. But it is your courageousness brings our courageousness as well to bring what's good for humanity and what really is intended by God Almighty, by Abraham, our father, yes, to benefit humanity by all of us being together.
And if you think Abraham ever dreamed that we will sit like that in St. Joseph together.
I think Abraham did dream.
Yes.
He did, huh?
He is looking right now, hopefully, and he's very happy.
But this is this is wonderful to really, when I've met Brian the first time when I built up the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys got a great pastor. I mean, he dances, he's full of energy. Yeah. God, I thought I had energy. Great energy. And I want to tell you something else, something you may not know. But when I asked Pastor Brian, I said, you know, I like to calculate numbers. I like to calculate stones. Do you mind if I play with the numbers? Can I have 10 stones of this kind over here, 12 stones of that kind over here, maybe 7 stone? And your pastor told me, well, Sam, God is a great mathematician. Therefore, do whatever you want. Yeah. I mean,
well, the point is, Sam didn't just throw those stones into the upper room any way. I mean, it was a work of love for him. And it's there's great symbolism in the stones. And he, every single stone in our upper room was in Sam's hand. I mean, he laid those stones. I didn't tell this in the first service. I'll tell the story. When you went to lay the last stone, and it was going to lay the last stone, and I just saw this girl the other day. You're going to lay the last stone, and you said, I'll do my Sam Nakum impersonation. I shall not lay the last stone. I must have someone from the church. They will lay the last stone. And he just wandered out into the lobby, and he just found the first person. He said, you must come. You must lay the last stone. And so one of the girls in our church, she's laying the last stone. Sam told me this story. And he says, now, what is your name? And she said, my name is Sharisa Zion. And Sam said, oh, my God, her name is Zion. And she's laying the last stone in the...
True. But here is another thing that you guys don't know.
Wow. Nothing okay? is a coincidence. You
know, no. We're talking about Abraham, right?
Yes.
He had a wife named Sarah. Sarah was a girl, I don't know if she's here today, but she's in your church and she's handicapped with her hands. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls that worked with me, she said, you know, Sam, I went to the bathroom and this girl is brushing her hair with her feet. Mm-hmm. And I said, tell me. And she said, well, so then we looked for Sarah. Sarah was the first one to lay the stone in the church.
I didn't know that.
It's a red Jerusalem red. And the last one was, like you said,
Zion.
So, you know, I'm in a
good that's great. That's awesome.
Worked out very well.
This is great.
Isn't that something? This and which, by the way, Pastor Brian Perry's wife, she did a lot of the tongue pointing on the altar by herself. And Pastor Brian and Perry, and you put the stones right as you walk into. So I did take lots of pride in it. And I really enjoyed doing that for you guys. And it took 72 days to finish the job.
That's great.
Another funny thing I have to tell you, you got to know that. On Friday night, I'm doing the stones, and all of a sudden, there's like 4 policemen shows up. You know that?
I don't know.
With uniform, right? And the guy that was working with me said, Sam, there's 4 policemen over here. And I said, well, let's find out what they want. And he said, they're not moving, fully armed. I said, James, it's okay. Let's find out what's going on. So I go to say hello.
James, I remember James.
James, yeah, it was a little kind of artistic too.
And I went and I said, and they said, are you Sam? And I said, yes. And they said, thank you so much for building our church.
Yeah. That's right.
Great. Lots of good That's experiences. Great. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Sam and I have been friends for many years now, and Ahmed and I will be friends for many years now.
Exactly. We're just part of the project.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
I said, I want to be a part. And so let me just say a few more things, and then we're going to show that video. But over the next 2 months, or a little more than that, throughout all of February and all of March, leading up to Easter, because Easter is the first Sunday in April, we want our church to bring toys. So talk about what should they bring?
I mean, don't get the toys.
No G.I. Joes. No guns. No, they got enough guns, okay? Yes. No G.I. Joes. No Barbie dolls. Right, but right. What others?
Yeah, basically, if you go to www.letthechildrenplayforpeace.org, you will find all the details.
And we'll get all that information. We'll give them a list of what would be a good recommendation.
Absolutely. But mainly toys, soccer ball, school backpacks.
Kites.
Kites, drawing material,
we'd like to
Legos.
If we get enough kite, we'd like to fly thousands of kites
on both sides.
Oh, I want to come with you and do that.
The other side.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we also have to think about, of course, as you do an organization, and you're learning more and more. So there is the toys. We're asking for new toys, not used toys.
Yes, brand new. Now, don't bring me your toy that three wheels have fallen off of it, and you know, in the packaging, so that the children get a brand new toy.
Yeah. Yes, and that, because take it from a poor boy. Mm-hmm. Even though I want to have a good toy and it was used, it's like, oh, this is not for me. This is for the poor people.
Yeah.
I'm poor myself.
Yeah.
But that's the character. Yeah. And then we're also looking for any type of fun, because we have to get into containers. So we have to have fun for the containers. But mainly
the shipping.
And so it's one thing lead to another thing.
Yes, I understand.
Our project, all of us are doing it 100%. No one is paid a penny.
Right.
It's all totally 100% volunteers. Yeah. 100%.
That's right. And I want to tell you, Brian, thank you so much. Really, truly. Because,
thank you, Sam.
And I'm so glad to see you, Ahmed, over here.
Absolutely.
You are in good hands.
And I enjoyed the upper room very much.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being with you and with Brian. We really have a huge message to send to the world, Brian. You really said it well, that who is your neighbor in this 21st century? If someone sneezes in China, we will feel it here in St. Joe. If something happened in Haiti, we are part of it.
Those are our neighbors.
This is the world that requires from us learning about one another, respecting one another for who we are.
Yes.
For the love of God.
For the love of God.
For the love of God.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
I have a video I want to show you. Some of you, some of the young people, some of you that are pretty hip, might be familiar with Matityahu. I don't say his name. I say Matityahu, and you say
Matityahu.
Yeah, like I said.
Matityahu, but exactly. You have an accent. Oh, God. It's in English, it's Matityahu. So it's Matityahu.
But we all say Matityahu, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
Call him Matt.
Matt, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, and what does his name mean?
That's not good, Matt.
What is it?
What it means in Arabic?
No.
You don't want to tell him.
Okay.
Matt means dead.
Oh, okay. That's the beauty of languages.
Yes.
You have to know what not to say.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, all the time.
Well, what does Matityahu mean in Hebrew? God's strength. Well, Matityahu is check all this out. He's an American, Jewish, Hasidic, reggae, hip-hop artist. And I love his music. I have two of his albums. I highly recommend them. They're all very spiritual. Most of them are prayers. A lot of them are based in the Psalms. But he has a song and a video came out just late last year called One Day. And it could be the theme for our project.
Yes, absolutely.
And so
we're going to put it in our website.
Yeah, put it. All right, so check out the video of One Day from Matityahu. I'm alive.
God, I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't wanna fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will pay.
Stand up with me. That's a great song, and that's really our prayer, and that's what we want to do, and we want to help make that day be our day. And so one more time, I want to thank Sam and Ahmed for coming, and I hope I was able to keep my promise. One of the promises I made when we met Tuesday and talked about it, we walked around the building, I said, we're going to sit here, and I said, I want you to be comfortable. And I know what it's like to go to a very strange situation. And so I hope you felt comfortable. I hope you felt loved. And that we view you as our dear, dear friends, as our neighbors, that we want to just, in any way we can, we want to help you. And we want to be very good friends to you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I love you. I love you. You're great.
Amen. God bless you and protect you and guide you.
Amen. 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 I thought about, well, how do I close this service? I mean, I'm participating, you know, with a Jew and with a Muslim and a Christian. How do we do this? And I thought, you know, the prayer that Jesus gave us to pray would offend no one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Amen.
Sam, this is him.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Shalom. Salam. Peace. God bless you. Go in peace.